You know, the mindset of us as salespeople, as technicians, is really important. But the mindset of your customer is also really, really important. In fact, the more you understand about the mindset and kind of the decision-making process of your customers, the more that will influence your sales process and your communications process. Let's take a quick look at this training that we did a while back and really talk about if you understand how your customer is buying, you have a better chance of understanding how to sell to them because they will tell you how they're going to buy. All you have to do is make sure you're listening and align your process to what they're looking for. In this module, we're going to discuss some basic market segmentation. One of the important things to remember in sales, whether you're a service tech or a sales professional, is that everybody is different, right? There's different strokes for different folks. And what happens sometimes is that we can have a really bad experience with a homeowner, and sometimes we tend to carry that bad experience with us to the next homeowner, and we just assume that all people are the same. The reality is some basic analysis of market segmentation can help us understand there's different types of people out there, and you have to be prepared to deal with each of them. Again, this is a basic representation of the residential heating and air conditioning market. This is the entire universe of customers. And so we want to break it down according to market segments. The first third is what we call the value-based third of the market segments. The value-based third are the people that you love to have as customers. The value-based consumer loves value. They appreciate quality. They're willing to pay you some extra money, you know, to have it done right. They're just not the person that's always looking for the bargain. In fact, they'll often eliminate the cheap guy because they don't want the cheapest guy doing anything in their house, right? I remember one time a few years ago, we had a hailstorm and all the roofing companies were working the neighborhoods. Now, I will tell you, I happen to be in the value-based segment because if you've spent some time going through the prosperity mindset training, you will know that I had nothing in my life until I was in my 40s, right? So now that I work hard and I make my money, I want to spend it on quality things. I can't stand to spend money and then just have it, you know, be something of poor quality. So the reality is the value-based consumer wants things done properly. As I was telling you, I had the hailstorm and all the roofing companies that were knocking on the door. Every afternoon for about a week, they would knock on the door and say, hey, do you have a roofing company yet, you know? And so I talked to them, and out of about 10 people that stopped by, I can tell you that out of those 10, there were probably about five of those, about half of them, that would begin the conversation by saying something along the lines of, you know, Mr. Homeowner, I can tell you right now that none of these other companies will undersell us. No one's going to do it cheaper than us. Well, as a value-based consumer, I can promise you, I immediately, you know, eliminated them from contention. We all know that the cheap person over here, which we'll talk about in a moment, if the cheap person has three bids in front of them, then the first one they get rid of is going to be the high end. Well, the value-based consumer is just the opposite. They're going to look at the three bids and get rid of the cheapest one first and go with the middle or the high guy. It's just the way people operate. So understand the value-based third are great customers, right? You can go in there, they'll pay full retail, and they're just great people to deal with, right? Even if there's a problem on a job, they're still really cool to deal with. Another good thing about the value-based consumer is they will listen to you. You know, the cheap guy is always going to be, you know, come on, give me your price, get enough with the spiel, right? They're always trying to rush you through the process and get to the price. The value-based consumer is interested. They want to know, you know, if they're getting the job done right. They want to know if it's going to be done properly. So they will let you get through your presentation. So again, we all love the value-based consumer. Over here we have the cheap consumer, right? No matter what they're buying, they always buy cheap, whether it's a car, shoes, or groceries. They're always buying cheap. They don't care about quality. They don't care about service. All they want is a really cheap price. They're just the opposite of the value-based consumer. And you've all had the experience of having this person as a customer, right? You drop your price, you get really aggressive on the deal, and then how soon do you regret having this person as a customer? They will make your life miserable, right? So we all know those people. I mean, you can cut them the deal of the century, and whereas this guy, the value-based guy, you know, even if there's a problem with the system, he's cool. This guy, it could be 100 degrees outside, 72 degrees in the house, and he's calling complaining that it's not 65 degrees. You know what I'm saying? You could just never make this person happy. So you've got two very distinct different types of customers, the value-based consumer and you've got the cheap consumer. Now here's the thing you got to keep in mind. As different as these two groups of people are, they do share one thing in common. And that is, at some point in your presentation, they are going to ask you for a discount. This guy is going to ask you for a discount because if you don't drop the price, he's not going to buy from you. But this guy will often ask you for a discount just out of habit, right? You don't really even have to drop the price. And that's the difference between these guys. The value person will ask you for a discount, but you can still earn their business even if you don't drop the price. In other words, they will still say yes to you even if you don't drop the price. If this person, if you don't say yes to a discount, they're not going to buy from you. But here's what happens if you assume every time you get a money objection that it really is a money objection. You end up dropping the price here and you end up, you know, trying to get their business and you drop the price $500 and what do they want? They want another $500, right? You can never make them happy. You drop the price over here for this guy and you end up giving away $500 or $1,000 worth of gross margin that you didn't really have to give them if you had just probed a little more deeply. I'll give you an example. As I mentioned, I happen to be in the value-based market third because I didn't have anything in my life for so many years. I remember a few years ago, I was buying an SUV and made the decision on the SUV and was in with the salesman. He was writing up all the paperwork. And as he was doing all his stuff, I got up and I was walking on the showroom looking at other cars. And as I walk on the showroom, I see this beautiful convertible, right? And so I'm looking at this convertible and the salesman comes out to me and says, hey, you wanna get this today too while you're here? And I said, well, I think probably one car a day is enough and look at the price on this thing, right? I'm not exactly here to buy, you know, a car that I could buy a house for or whatever, you know? And so I'm walking around the car and as I get around to the front of the car, I see a sticker hanging off the front that says 0% financing. And I turn to the salesman, his name was Jim. I said, Jim, I can get 0% financing on this car? And he's like, yeah, do you want one now? And I'm like, well, of course, yeah, mine would have to be red, of course, you know, right? So I ended up buying two cars that day, which, by the way, brings up the topic of financing, which we'll talk about later, because there's no way I buy that car. I mean, I was already buying one car. There's no way I buy a second car on the same day if, you know, I don't have the luxury, in this case, of 0% financing. So, you know, we'll talk about financing when we get in to this a little bit deeper. But here's the thing. After I agreed to buy the convertible, went back into the salesman's office and he starts writing up the purchasing order for the car. And when he gets down to the bottom and writes in the number, he puts the number right off the MSRP onto the contract, the purchasing agreement. And I said, yo, Jim, I mean, you got to give me some kind of discount. I'm buying two cars from you today, you know? And Jim looks at me and says, Wally, I can give you the discount or I can give you the 0% financing, but I can't do both. Well, what do you think I said? Okay, right? You can say no to a value-based consumer and they'll still say yes to you. Again, if you drop the price too quickly though, you end up giving away margin to someone you didn't have to. In other words, if Jim, the salesman, the car salesman, if he had said, well, we'll knock a couple of $1,000 off if that's what it takes, then he would have dropped $2,000 off and he wouldn't have had to because I said yes anyway. Again, this guy, you give him a discount, and all he wants is another discount, more and more and more. And beware if you end up getting their business because they're going to make you miserable very, very quick. So you've got the value-based consumer and you've got the cheap consumer, very different, and yet they have something in common. And that is, at some point, they are both going to ask you for a discount.